Marcus Agrippa, the Actian War, Part 1. Now, Imperator Octavian was now ready to do battle. Agrippa awaited his orders. Due process required a formal declaration of war that had to be agreed on in the Roman Senate and then ratified by the popular assembly. Octavian was extremely careful to position the coming struggle, not as a fight against the wayward Roman, but as a war against the foreign seductress. In the latter part of 32 BCE, a vote was passed to wage war against Cleopatra and to take away from Antony the authority which he had surrendered to her. The last point about her gender was very important. She had publicly humiliated a Roman. To stress the culpability of the Egyptian, Octavian added that Antony had been drugged and was not even master of himself, and that the Romans were carrying on the war with Mardonian the eunuch and Pothinius and Iris, then the tired woman of Cleopatra and Charmion, by whom the principal affairs of government were managed. The Egyptian queen had demanded the Roman Empire from the besotted, drunken commander as a payment for her favors. To lend gravity to the declaration, Octavian invoked the ancient rite of declaring war in which a theestial priest stuck a spear into a patch of ground regarded as token foreign soil at the Temple of Bellona. Doing it there saved on time and expense of delivering the message to the queen in person. These proceedings, writes the historian Dio, were nominally directed against Cleopatra, but of course really against Antony. According to Octavian's own account, this year, to bind the nation of all the communities of Italy, was required to take an oath of loyalty to him, all except Antony's hereditary family clients living in Bologna. The Actian War, Bellum Actius, had now begun. While the Roman world fractured into two halves, as men were forced to pick sides, Agrippa's own family suffered a deep split that year. His father-in-law, Pompeius Atticus, who had had no serious illness for the last 3 decades, now 78 years old, had developed an intestinal condition his doctor could not identify. He ultimately sent for Agrippa to be at his side at his house in Rome, along with Cornelius Balbus and Sextus Pedacus. He explained to them, seeing no possibility of recovery, he could no longer continue if it meant living with the excruciating pain which daily grew worse. He decided to end his life through starvation. Cornelius Nepos describes Agrippa's reaction to the news, quote, "Having delivered this address with so much steadiness of voice and countenance that he seemed to be removing, not out of life, but out of one house into another. When Agrippa, weeping over him and kissing him, entreated and conjured him not to accelerate that which nature herself would bring, and since he might live some time longer, to preserve his life for himself and his friends, he put a stop to his prayers by an obstinate silence." End of quote. After stubbornly refusing food for 2 days, the fever broke, apparently showing signs of recovery. Atticus nevertheless continued his fast for 3 more days. On March the 31st, 32 BCE, he died. Though wealthy, his funeral was modest. His body was carried out of his house on a small couch, as he had directed. Without any funeral pomp, all the respectable portions of the family attending, and a vast crowd of the populace. His ashes were placed in the sepulchre of his uncle, Caelius, on the Via Appia, at the 5th milestone from the city. Agrippa had lost a much-beloved relation, a well-connected friend, and a wise confidant. Setting aside personal grief, Agrippa now took on the most important military leadership role of his life. In the closing months of 32 BCE, Octavian placed Agrippa in charge of all military operations. News had arrived that Antony had stationed his troops in many towns and shore forts along the western coast of Greece as far as Colonia Las Julia, Corinthianus, modern Corinth, and moved his fleet and land army to Corfu, the westernmost Greek island. The move could have been defensive, but just as likely, it suggests Antony still had the intention of a surprise invasion of Italy before his opposition could respond, despite Cleopatra having rejected the idea. Antony represented a clear and present threat. Agrippa immediately dispatched a small flotilla across the Adriatic Sea to reconnoiter Antony's forces. Seems Agrippa was spotted first. Off the Carunian Mountains, Antony's scouts spied the arrival of Agrippa's ships, thinking they were the vanguard of Octavian's main fleet. Antony advanced no further but decided to return to the Peloponnesus, setting up his winter quarters at Patrae. Over the ensuing months, Agrippa aggressively patrolled the Ionian Sea for prey and successfully intercepted many slow-moving transport bringing Antony food and munitions from Asia, Egypt, and Syria, captured them, or sank them. Agrippa landed an army at Methone, a coastal town with strong defenses built in the 4th century BCE on the southwestern tip of the Peloponnesus. In charge of the stronghold was one of Antony's allies, Bogudis, king of Mauritania. In a surprise attack, Agrippa laid siege, and the place soon fell, and he had Bogudis executed. Agrippa now headed north again, looking out for merchant ships on the way and raiding Greek coastal settlements at will, all of which disturbed Antony greatly. The news of Agrippa's successful hunter strategy, of course, greatly heartened Octavian. Leaving Rome in the care of his trusted representative, Maecenas, he relocated to Brundisium, where he gathered together his supporters to impress upon them that he had the largest and strongest contingency amongst the Romans sympathetic to his cause. Octavian had assembled the bulk of his army and navy at Brundisium and Tarentum, and in the spring of 31 BCE, they crossed the Adriatic Sea to Kerchira, unopposed. He intended to reach Actium, but a storm blew up, preventing him from landing there. Having regrouped, Octavian gave the order for his main force and his supporters to make the sea crossing to Actium, where he hoped to capture Antony's fleet. En route, finding Kerchira had been abandoned, he occupied the city, anchoring his ships in the freshwater harbor, and made it the base of his naval operations. Meanwhile, Agrippa struck Antony's forces whenever he found them, at sea or on land. In effect, he had adopted the same military strategy of Sextus Pompeius. Using his swift fleet and battle-hardened marines, he attacked Antony's garrisons and supply lines along the coastline of the Peloponnesus. It is unlikely Agrippa held on to the captured targets for long. The objective seems to have been to degrade Antony's military assets, cause maximum disruption of his logistics, and grind down the morale of his troops and allies. Again, Dio describes one of the chance naval encounters. Quote, "In the meantime, a naval battle occurred. Tarius, it seems, was anchored with a few ships opposite Sosius, who had hoped to achieve a notable success by attacking him before the arrival of Agrippa, to whom the whole fleet had been entrusted. Accordingly, Sosius waited for a thick mist so that Tarius could not beforehand be aware of the numbers and flee, and suddenly sailed out just before dawn, and immediately at the first assault, routed his opponent and pursued him, but failed to capture him. For Agrippa by chance met Sosius on the way, so that he not only gained nothing for the victory, but perished, together with Tarchimondes and many others." End of quote. Antony's men seemed to be quite incapable of rallying a strong defense whenever Agrippa landed on the shore, apparently out of nowhere. So we're moving closer to Actium. Now the sources for this, Lives of the Caesars by Suetonius, The Annals of Imperial Rome by Tacitus, 12 Caesars by Grant, Cleopatra by Grant, Marcus Agrippa, the right-hand man of Caesar Augustus by Powell, and the various Roman historians such as Dio and others. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.